Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
They just continue to go out there and put up zeros. Wow, it's a pitch on.
3-2 pitch, hit deep to left field and gone! Just like the start in Boston, an extended at bat to begin this game, and Jose Altuve has hit his 26th leadoff home run.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That is Paul Gallant, and that was Jose Altuve as the Astros beat the Rangers yesterday 5-2. Not sure the Lone Star Series is really even a rivalry at this point, but we always love that little in-state action.
They're a poverty franchise. Yeah, they were a little bit big with their britches this offseason as far as some of the acquisitions that they've made. But it's nice to see the Astros stop what was a playing pretty well Texas Rangers team in its tracks, taking 3 of 4 in this past series.
These teams have met 37 times in the last three seasons. That's per ESPN Stats and Info. This year does count as one of those three. Houston has the best record, 25-12. So not much of a rivalry.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember when I first moved down here, that was when the Rangers were making it to the World Series. And there were a couple of years, I think 2015, 2016, the Rangers actually did have the Astros number. And then all of a sudden, it just flips. And now the Rangers, I mean, they made a lot of moves this offseason, but none of them have really worked out to the degree that they thought it would. And while they are in third place right now, I mean, hey, they're playing better than my Boothang on the side, the Seattle Mariners. I mean, still, this is a team that clearly, when you go up against the Astros, and with the way that the Houston has been pitching all season long, we saw it this weekend. I mean, they're just really tough to beat right now. Everyone on the mound, especially Justin Verlander, has been absolutely killing it.
Yeah, Justin Verlander was great over the weekend. Yesterday, Urquidy goes 6 2/3. That was his longest start of 2022. Yeah, so, the pitching staff just continues to dominate and continues to really impress in a big way.
I can't believe that it's lasted this long. Like, there hasn't been a stretch where at least one or two outside of Jake Odorizzi have really struggled in that rotation. But, yeah, I mean, look, 10 strikeouts is really impressive. If you can get that done on a regular basis, any of these starters, whether it be Urquidy or Luis Garcia, who we saw with a couple of back-to-back 9-strikeout starts, I mean, they are right now just overpowering people with the arms, and some of the bats are starting to heat up a little bit, at least compared to the start. I mean, you're seeing Jose Altuve. He has been on a bit of a tear of late, and he had 2 hits yesterday, including the home run that you just heard.
Love it. Good stuff from the Astros. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I'm wearing these. I don't know what these headphones are.
You don't know what they are? Well, you're supposed to bring in your own headphones.
I do, and mine were
like
not
a professional.
Mine were not working today.
I actually had this problem on Thursday, and I wore these headphones. And if you're watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I don't know why. I believe Lance likes these headphones or something, but one of them is like clearly broken, and it's just hanging. And it's like essentially like those old 1930s phones where you pick up an earpiece to the side. Hello, what's going on, operator? And you're dealing with a series of technical issues at this point in
time.
These
headphones that I brought in, earbuds, are on their last leg. Towards the end of the string, they are not in
good shape. Yeah. Oh, no. You got to take care of that.
They're super cheap. I'll just get another pair at Walgreens.
Oh, wow.
But meanwhile...
In this economy, they're super cheap? Inflation. What are you talking about?
I'm wearing... Bose.
Let's just go with that. It's not Bose. Bose. Hey, Bose, if you guys want to be a part of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program, we will make your headphones sound exotic. So how about that?
Bose.
Bose headphones. Oh, like it's French or something.
10 strikeouts for Jose Urquidy for the second time in his career. Great game for him. And it's exciting to see where this Astros team is in May.
Yeah, it's where they're expected to be.
Right.
You know, it may be exciting for some. To me, I'm just like, okay, can we... I always get in this mood as the season progresses, as we get to the middle of the year. I get impatient. I'm like, okay, none of this matters until October. Can we fast forward to the playoffs and see if this is the year where the Astros actually win the World Series again? Can we fast forward, please? I want a super sim. Outside of the series that are going to take place against New York They have a couple of them back-to-back against the Mets and the Yankees, I think exactly a month from now, where the Mets are the bread of a sandwich that features a four-game series with the Yankees in the middle of it. Until that happens, like I honestly just want to get there. I want to play the meaningful games. This is why baseball drives me crazy. The 162, I can't do it. I like the landmark games are the ones I care about.
You're so negative, though, because at the beginning of the season, you were saying that you weren't sure the Astros were going to be what they had been, which was fair, actually.
I mean, look, I wondered about the departure of Correa, but Jeremy Peña's made up for that more than anything. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the exact same TV show, a great TV show, by the way,
right?
That we've
fun
been seeing
watch.
For the last couple of years. Yes, but I want to know what happens on the finale because I'm an impatient weirdo who is also a casual baseball fan.
There you go. Slow progress continues for Lance McCullers Jr. 10 throws from the front of the mound and 10 pitches off the mound about 1 to 2 feet in front of the rubber. That is per Danielle Lerner of the Houston Chronicle. The velocity was around 80 miles per hour, and he felt good about this benchmark. Here's Lance McCullers Jr. And this audio is, of course, thanks to Mark Berman from Fox 26. I know you're shocked.
The legend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely encouraged. You know, this is something that, you know, it's a little bit of a finicky injury just because of, you know, where it is. And, you know, obviously I had Tommy John surgery and, you know, it's hard to tell exactly, you know, what the health of the UCL is, things of that nature. Or I should say the graph is on the MRI. It looks good, but you don't really know until you start testing it. So knowing that my elbow feels good and we feel like we've been moving in the right direction, you know, for a couple months, you know, 2 months now since spring, and I've come a long way since I started throwing about six-ish weeks ago. Been hitting hitting my milestones. It's all encouraging.
Well, it's good to hear that it's all encouraging. I guess there are always going to be two things when it comes to him. First off, okay, how long can they afford to have him off to the side? Clearly, thus far, he has not been missed because of how well everyone's been pitching. Is that going to last? And two, is it going to happen again when he goes back out there? Because I think that the conventional wisdom is that, yeah, it will. Now, there was an interesting theory floated last week that we discussed, and I guess Lance McCullers actually liked some of the tweets where someone had suggested, hey, move him perhaps to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind that, but what do you do to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again? Because it just feels like, for whatever reason, the way that Lance McCullers throws lends itself to him messing up his arm. And look, it's an unnatural movement, yada, yada, yada. There's all sorts of weird stuff, and you're just throwing filthy curveballs to drop the way that his do. Okay, I mean, it makes sense that something like this could potentially happen. How do you make sure it doesn't happen again? That's what I'm more curious about, because obviously they're going to baby it as best they can, and they should.
I think that when you take inventory from all of the injuries that he's had, the one thing that a lot of people notice is that the Astros, in fans' minds, aren't like super clear about what's going on with the injuries. And he had talked a little bit about that, too, about how it ended up being worse than they thought. So from what he says, he genuinely thought he could come back in October and November for the playoffs, and then it didn't happen. But to your point, what a luxury to have a bullpen and to have fresh arms and to have a good pitching staff so that he doesn't feel the need to rush back. I think that's huge.
Yeah, and it also helps that, I mean, outside of the Yankees, it's really not that competitive of an American league. I suppose we should take the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of California of the United States of North America, formerly a Pangea of planet Earth. I suppose we should take them a little bit more seriously just because they are lingering around, but I don't know. I just can't. I don't know what it is about them. I just look at them and I'm like, yeah, okay, Shohei Ohtani. Ooh, Mike Trout. Ooh,
right, right.
MVP. Blah. And I just don't think about them that way. So we'll see. But yeah, now they take on the Cleveland Guardians. It's still weird.
Very weird.
I feel like, so the nickname is after, there's these stone figures on a couple of bridges in Cleveland.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
It's a cool nickname if you have it explained to you. The logo sucks. Like, the logo, it looks sort of like the Tennessee Titans logo. It's like a flying baseball with a C in it, right? I feel like they could have done something cooler than what they actually did. Like the giant stone men or something like that. But what do you think of the Guardians nickname in a world where now the Washington Commanders and the Cleveland Guardians
are things?
It's very
strange. You know, the funny thing is that the Washington football team I actually thought was a pretty good name that flowed really well.
I got used to it.
I got used to it.
I like it better
too.
Than the Commanders.
The Washington, their former name was a racial slur, which was a little bit different than the Indians, which is still not great, but not necessarily a slur. So the Washington name probably needed to go a long time ago. I don't know that Washington Commanders rolls off the tongue. There were some people, and I'm glad you brought this up, that thought that the Guardians name, they almost tried to do some psychology because it's the same syllable as Indians, Guardians, whatnot.
Oh, the last part of it?
Right.
I guess. It's weird. They should
have
just
gone to... But if
you're
not from Cleveland, you're not going to know about the Stones.
No, I don't want to
But,
either.
You know, we progress as a society. I think it'll be a good matchup. I think it'll be an interesting matchup. The two, this is according to ESPN, met seven times last season, Houston dominating the season series, 6 of 7 games.
You never want to have to explain anything.
Right.
In life, you know, like, hey, this is my name. Oh, why are you named that? And then you're going, because someone's going to be questioning it. They're going to be like, what's going on here? Hey, Paul, why are you named Paul? Oh, I'm named after Paul McCartney. Oh, you must be a big Paul McCartney fan. No.
Your mom did you dirty on
Someone's
that one.
Knocking at the Door by Wings is the worst song of all time.
What?
Hot take. Oh, my God. Someone's knocking at the door. And that was it. Like, I would rather listen to Pantera playing Walk on repeat than hear that god-awful song
Paul
again.
Paul McCartney was on the Smartless podcast, which is Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett, and it was really good. You should watch it. Maybe you'll
I won't.
You'll like your namesake more.
I'll leave Paul McCartney love to my mom. Kitsy loves Paul McCartney, named me after Paul McCartney. We only went to a Super Bowl because Paul McCartney did the halftime
show. Are you joking?
Nope.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was Patriots-Eagles. My stepdad's an Eagles fan. I'm a Patriots fan. But we went because Paul McCartney was doing the halftime show.
I love it. Mama Wears the Pants. 0170, a man after my own heart on the text line says, how about Scott Dixon qualifying on pole? Can he convert that into a win on Sunday?
Yeah.
We will see.
Oh, wow. I think Look at can. That Indy 500 reference.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
How was the Holy Milk? So, like, I figured, so Vanessa, I went up to Indianapolis for the qualifying for the Indy 500. And I thought there was, like, all sorts of, like, crazy, like, Indianapolis, like blood cultists and sacrifices and all sorts of ceremonies.
I walk into work and he says, did they bless the milk this
weekend? That's what I thought. Like, there's, because there's the holy milk of Alibaba or whatever, of the, the holy milk of the Indy 500. I don't know.
There is holy milk. There is holy milk.
And
on race day morning, it is a big topic of conversation. But this weekend, the cars were going fast and the car that went the fastest gets to start first on the pole, which is Scott Dixon.
Mm. What does the pole mean? So he's going to do a dance for us?
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Yep,
hell
that's,
yeah.
That's exactly.
Let's go, Scott.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there was an interesting article involving Deshaun Watson that you'll want to hear because it does affect in a roundabout way the Texans with some possible implications.
And you know what else was really interesting? I went on the bus tour with my friends at the Passive Investor Network on Saturday. Got up bright and early. Oh, it was fantastic. And we went all across town. And look, this is what the Passive Investor Network does. If you're looking to invest in real estate, these guys take all of the burden, the hassle, the process out of your hands, and they'll customize a plan for you. And they showed me basically what they do on these bus tours, which you're going to want to check out the next time they go out. So they go to parts of town that they believe are eventually going to be turned into some of the areas that we've seen these days. Remember when the Heights were nothing? Now the Heights, you can't find real estate anywhere. Everything's going for crazy. They find this in advance and they find real estate that you can invest in over 5 years, 10 years. All of a sudden, you might have some property in one of the hottest parts in town. The Passive Investor Network, these guys take it all out of your hands. They are the experts. If you want to be a part of the process, great. But the PIN process has you covered. You want to check them out at passiveinvestor.net. Passiveinvestor.net.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass with us. Who likes to play golf? Do you guys like playing golf? Are you good at it?
No. No, so I don't like playing golf because I'm not good at it. No, I just don't like playing things where I'm not naturally more talented than everybody.
Gotcha.
So, like, if it's football or something, I feel great. But that's pretty much it.
What about you, Sean?
I can go to the driving range and have fun or mm-hmm. Topgolf or something yeah. like that. But I don't have the attention for a
Topgolf is awesome.
Topgolf yes. is great.
I'm also very good at driving a golf cart and drinking while other people golf. I'm spectacularly talented at that. So if you'd like to see me do that, if you'd like to see Paul get frustrated
Throw
and Sean have no attention span.
Break a club.
Take the day off work. Play a fun round of golf with all of us here at ESPN 97.5. Excuse me. And 92.5. I'm so excited that I just sneezed about it. It's the Occasional Invitational. It is presented by SiteJab.com, and it benefits Kids Meals. Great foundation. So this year's tournament is going to take place Tuesday, June 14th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tourney. So if you want to register for this, again, it is the Occasional Invitational.
Are we handing out participation trophies? I want one.
I don't think we do that here. You know what? I'll make you one. I'll print you
Thank
one.
Thank you. No, don't print it. I want it made of some solid metal.
Register now at ESPN975.com.
Put it on my mantle. Really... Like, Paul, successfully shot 100 over.
Were you the kid growing up that got awards?
No.
Really?
No. No,
but you were really academically gifted, right?
I mean, I got into honor societies and stuff.
There you go.
But I mean, that's not awards.
Not really an awards, more of a body of work kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, society.
Humble
that you
brag.
Get,
no, it's not. I was in the same family as my sister. Nothing I did was ever good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're both in the.
Sean's making like a hand gesture. Yeah, it was hard. Life was hard being Sarah's little brother.
That's why I need attention all the time.
Yeah.
See, you've
solved me very quickly.
So everything involving Deshaun Watson, as we know, huge story in the NFL in the offseason. He is, of course, in Cleveland now.
Yep.
Will he be suspended? Will he not? We still don't know. Common sense would say the NFL investigation is wrapping up because they were here in Texas interviewing Deshaun over a couple of days. And that's what Rusty Hardin, of course, Deshaun's lawyer, told Mary Kay Cabot, who does great journalism work in Cleveland. He thinks the NFL investigation is going to conclude in either June or July. Quote, we should know what the NFL's position is initially sometime in June, and then everybody will figure out if there's going to be a hearing about it or can people work things out, Hardin told Cabot. The only thing that's certain is that they want to try to get everything done this summer and earlier than later in the summer, end quote. And again, that's Rusty Hardin to Mary Kay Cabot. I think this thing wraps up maybe even sooner than July. You would hope that it would be June because you think the NFL wants to know how long they're going to suspend him, whatnot, and what their decision is.
The Browns are probably pissed that it's not wrapping up right now. Rusty Hardin, Deshaun Watson are probably also pretty frustrated because this week, Vanessa, on Tuesday, we're going to see something on Real Sports, the documentary show on HBO with Brian Gumbel, where we're going to see some of the victims that Deshaun Watson allegedly performed sexual misconduct with. They are going to tell their tales. And here's the interesting thing about all this, and I don't want to turn this into like innocent until proven guilty like a lot of people have turned it into, because it's not as simple as that. You're naive if you're portraying it like that. There's many people accusing Deshaun Watson of doing similar things with very specific details that were found to be credible by police officers. But the Browns are probably pissed off about this because, once again, whether it's been Tony Busby's show pony tactics of getting things out there, or it's something like this where alleged victims are being interviewed on HBO, Watson is going to look as bad as possible in the court of public opinion. And no matter what actually happened, that matters more, especially when it comes to how the NFL handles a suspension for Deshaun Watson. So I'm really curious as to what we're going to see on Tuesday. And I think, just given, Vanessa, that last week or 2 weeks ago that we had seen that Watson was acknowledging, like, hey, he made someone cry. He made one of these masseuses cry.
Under oath.
And he couldn't figure it out, and he just sounded really tone deaf and sociopathic in describing it, saying like, yeah, but we were thinking about working again together. Yeah, sure, dude. I'm wondering what this is going to mean. I think it's good for the Texans, that's for sure. It's only bad for Watson and the Browns that there's going to be more of a spotlight shined on him when he's had plenty of it over the last couple of months.
We have heard from Ashley Solis. She was, of course, the first person that put a face with her name and with the, I believe they were all referred to initially as Jane Doe's, and then we knew their names. And so we have heard from her. But, I mean, this Real Sports thing with Bryant Gumbel, if you're familiar with the program at all, I've watched it. They touch on sports, social issues, and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is going to be a very, very intense issue.
He's a little sanctimonious, Bryant Gumbel, but I will say right. that like when it comes to stuff like this, like he does his due diligence, that's for damn
that's
sure.
That's the premise of the show, yeah. is basically how social issues tie into sports and the sports world. So it is going to be something that I think is going to be worth watching, regardless of how you feel about the situation. And here's where I don't necessarily agree with people that say, well, that's not going to impact the NFL's investigation. The NFL's investigation is separate. And Rusty Hardin said as much again to Mary Kay Cabot regarding the Trevor Bauer suspension. MLB, of course, you know, suspending Trevor Bauer for 2 years. And they announced that last week. He said, quote, I'm going to try to be an optimist and say it will have no effect at all because it has no logical connection. While Rusty Hardin may be right that it has no logical connection, Trevor Bauer, Deshaun Watson, MLB, NFL, perception is reality.
Yeah.
And the NFL has messed up so many different issues involving domestic violence and whatnot that I do think that this could have an impact.
You've already seen it. When it's a high-profile person that's going to be put on trial, I mean, even though those who are going to be on a grand jury or something like that are supposed to be looking at this objectively, it's very hard to find a way to do that. And that's why you saw when these accusations first came out, Rusty Hardin doing his own PR, damage control, and of course, Tony Busby going on the attack, essentially. It is amusing to me to see Rusty Hardin whine about this process, though. He said this to Mary Kay Cabot. I don't know what it's going to be like, the HBO interviews that are set to air tomorrow night, but I'm not optimistic. I believe they'll air the accusations of the women without attempting to look behind it to see what kind of merit do they have. I don't agree with that, first off. But second off, I mean, have you not, Rusty Hardin, been doing the exact same thing? Cry me a river. Oh, it's so hard for Deshaun Watson in this situation. They're not going to present things fair. I don't know. I think Deshaun Watson has it pretty damn good considering that there's no way to actually document what allegedly went down in those massage parlors because it is literally illegal. You're not allowed to film or record anything that takes place in a massage setting.
You actually brought that up to me when I wondered why Robert Kraft hadn't been punished more.
Inadmissible evidence.
Yeah.
Even though they did have, apparently, video of him doing things. You can't admit that. It's illegally obtained evidence. It's one of the weird things. Like, was he there? Sure seems like it. I haven't seen any of the video, but you're not allowed to do, like, a sting operation where you have film video that's in that situation.
Rusty Hardin says Watson will meet with the NFL one more time. So I personally, and this is a me opinion, this is not necessarily a report, but I personally feel like the NFL probably already has their mind semi-made up. I do think that they're waiting on the Bryant Gumbel interview. So you think they're still flexible?
I think they're
still listening.
Every day that goes by is bad for the Browns and is bad for Deshaun Watson and is good for the Texans. Every single day that goes by, because it just allows for more fuel to be put on the fire. And I feel like if you have video of these women crying, upset, because we didn't have that with the Deshaun Watson testimony. If we get that now, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long he'll get suspended. But with this Trevor Bauer thing, Rusty Hardin's saying like it's not fair to compare them. Well, it's not a matter of fair. This is all about perception. The NFL doesn't want to look like just they don't give a damn.
And there are certainly arguments that what happened to some of these women would not be quote-unquote fair either. So yeah. More will be revealed, and we anticipate to find out more, like Rusty Hardin said, sometime in the early summer. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Houston native and MLB Network host Robert Flores joins the show. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros taking on the Cleveland Guardians tonight, little midweek series. And for more on baseball going around the league, we bring in Houston native Robert Flores, Dobie High School graduate and University of Houston grad. What's up, Roflo?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good. Thanks for hopping on, man. What are your thoughts so far on the Astros season? Are they what you expected? Are they as good as you expect? I mean, I know you cover all 32 teams, but this or 30 teams, but this is your hometown team.
Yeah, I think that you know, offensively, they are not quite what I expected. There's still some guys still trying to find their way, namely Alex Bregman. He did have an extra base hit yesterday, so that definitely helped. He said he's been working hard trying to fix some things mechanically with his swing. So I think offensively they're a little bit behind. From a pitching standpoint, especially from a starting rotation standpoint, it might be exceeding expectations. And I'm including Justin Verlander in that at the top of the list because, I mean, it's remarkable what he's doing. He's 39 years old. He's fresh off Tommy John surgery. And like we were saying this morning on MLB Central, he might be the best pitcher in the game right now. So he has exceeded expectations. But even with all that going on, offense underperforming just a tad, they're still in first place.
It's almost as if it's every single year with this team. You sort of just expect them to be in that spot. But the way that they're doing it, Robert, is definitely different. As you mentioned, that starting pitching. I feel with Justin Verlander that this is just what you expect from him. He's kind of like the Tom Brady of baseball. But with the rest of the rotation, do you feel like it's sustainable, what we have seen thus far from a unit that definitely had good numbers last year but has been remarkably consistent thus far?
Well, I think that the Jake Odorizzi injury could have been potentially devastating for the depth of rotation. There's no timetable on when he's coming back, but it sounds like it will be sooner than what we had expected and thought when he first went down at Fenway Park. I think Jose Urquidy's start yesterday was important. He had not been generating prior to yesterday a lot of swings and misses, but yesterday he responds with a career-high 10 strikeout. And yeah, it's the Texas Rangers, I get it, but they've got some guys that can mash in that lineup. So for him to turn in that kind of performance, considering how his season has started, I think was very important. I'm going to give you one name that I think is going to have to play a role, and I've said it a couple of times. Vanessa has heard me say it a couple of times. Forrest Whitley is going to have to be a part of this staff at some point. He just is. I mean, it's time. Now, I know he's young. He's also coming off Tommy John. He's still several weeks away, but I think that there's going to be a place for him at some point. Whether that's middle relief, bullpen, start, I don't know. But I think this could be the season that he, you know, is thrust into action.
I want to go back to what you said about Justin Verlander, because I know in Houston I think we were surprised that he has been as solid as he has been. Were you guys surprised on the national level that he's been this good?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think that and not so much that we knew that he would be prepared, that he would be in shape, and he would do everything in his power to come back. But it's what he's done, especially from a velocity standpoint. I mean, I think a couple of starts ago, he was hitting 97, 98. That's the hardest pitch he had thrown all season. I think is the hardest pitch he's thrown since 2019. So I think for me, that is the most surprising, how good he looks this early. Now, as you guys mentioned, it's still early in the season. We've only reached really the quarter pole of the season. So they're going to have to be careful on how they monitor him moving forward. But, man, the early returns right now, excellent.
Robert Flores with us. You mentioned roles for guys like Forrest Whitley. I'm curious as to what kind of role Lance McCullers will have when he comes back, not because I don't expect him to go be a starter, but Keith Law was on our station last week, and he suggested the idea of moving Lance McCullers into the bullpen. What do you think of a move like that?
Yeah, I think it is something that I'm sure that they are considering. And the other thing, there's two factors here in play when you consider Lance in the bullpen. One, he just signed a contract extension, so he's not like chasing numbers or anything in preparation for a new deal. So he's good. He's set. He's got his new contract. And the other thing is he has experience coming out of the bullpen. So I think that could be definitely an interesting option. The way they were using Odorizzi and Javier before Odorizzi's injury was kind of that piggyback tandem starter. So maybe we see something like that with Lance McCullers involved. So I think that assuming Lance comes back and he's healthy and ready to go, I think that gives Dusty Baker and James Quick quite a few options on how to attack opposing hitters. Because as we've seen, you can never have enough pitching. This has definitely been an unusual season with the shortened spring training. So the more options, the more depth, the better.
What have you seen from Jeremy Pena? I think all of us have been a little pleasantly surprised, even though we knew he was good. What have you guys seen? Again, like, you cover every team. What is that national narrative on this young guy that's really come in and showed out? Not that he could ever fully take Carlos Correa's place, but he's being himself, and it seems to really be working.
I think it's a case of, well, the Astros knew what they were doing, I guess. it's just another example of guys stepping in for departed superstars and producing. I think defensively, I said before, you know, make every routine play and occasionally make some great plays. And he's done that and more. Offensively is where I'm surprised. We've seen power. I think he's near the top as far as the team lead and RBIs and other offensive categories. So I think when you look also at his makeup, he doesn't seem rattled. He doesn't seem phased. The moment doesn't seem too big for him. So when you compare what Carlos is currently making in Minnesota and what Jeremy is making now, right now it seems like the Astros made the right decision. But it's still early. We'll see.
Robert, what did you make of what took place on Saturday between the White Sox and the New York Yankees, where Josh Donaldson, who claims to have called Tim Anderson shortstop for the White Sox, Jackie, a couple of times, referencing back to the time where, I guess, Tim Anderson compared himself to Jackie Robinson back in 2019. Yeah. Anderson took major issue with it on Saturday. He spoke about it. Then yesterday, continued to play the way he's been playing. He's probably the best shortstop in baseball, at least with the statistics right now. What did you make of that entire situation? Because I know Josh Donaldson is definitely someone who can be a troll from time to time. I also, though, with Anderson, I do wonder, it feels like he got mad about something that I don't know was perhaps intended the way it was taken.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to unpack. And like I tweeted a couple of days ago when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, this story is going to be a mess, but luckily we have Twitter to help us navigate through all of this.
A lot of calm, logical people.
Exactly. I thought that Liam Hendricks and a couple of other, I think maybe Tony La Russa also mentioned this, but Liam Hendricks was pretty emphatic, and he made a great point. You know, you're claiming that this is an inside joke between the two of you, but the two of you don't get along. So it's kind of like when you make fun of your brother and vice versa, that's fine. But when someone else does it, it's like, hey, you don't know him like that, and you don't know me like that. So I don't blame Tim Anderson for feeling that way. And I said earlier today that, and I think we're coming around that, you know, maybe we shouldn't ask, we shouldn't tell the black guy or the person of color what is or isn't racist. You know, so hopefully, I mean, these are two very intelligent guys and grown men. So maybe a phone call can be had. Maybe a conversation, better yet, maybe a conversation face to face. But it's incumbent upon Josh to tell Tim, hey, I didn't mean it that way. And maybe Tim can tell him from his point of view why he did feel that way. And then maybe it can be squashed.
Do you still get your mentions blown up by BTS fans?
By Yankee fans? Yeah.
No, what was the boy band that you insulted?
Oh, what was that boy band?
They got so mad at you. This,
God, what is that? What was that group? It's not This Is Us.
See, this
That's
is
the
good.
TV show.
You moved on. That's good. I would hold that grudge forever. I'd hate them more.
Do you guys know the name of it?
No.
Know the name of the group?
I want to know who it is.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated.
You'll have to, because they were really, really mean to you. Okay, I want to get a couple here. I want to get your hot take.
Yeah,
on it.
I mean, I was bombarded with insults by like preteens, and
oh,
they
nice.
Were calling me boomer.
It was aggressive.
I'm like, boomer? I'm a I'm a Gen Xer. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm not a boomer.
People may think you're a one-trick pony with baseball, but you've covered a lot of other sports. So I'm going to ask your take on a couple of other things. Are you Team Saban or Team Jimbo?
I am Team College Athlete.
Love it.
But I love them going back and forth. But it's a little funny when these college coaches and all this pearl clutching that they're doing
when they're millionaires,
when kids are they're like, all this nefarious recruiting tactics. What are we supposed? Hey, these guys, these kind of stuff has been going on for decades. Now it's just, you know, the kids, rightly so, get a chance to you know, put themselves out in the free market and make a little money. So, but yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I love when college coaches go back and forth at it.
Peter King has the Texans ranked 32nd in his power rankings. Is that fair or unfair?
Oh my God. Well,
you're surprised, now you're not surprised.
I'm surprised and not surprised. If we could somehow put them at 33, that would probably a more accurate description.
I think they're a little better than Carolina. I mean, I don't think they're the absolute worst, Robert. I feel like they're bad, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They're
on the right track, right? They're on the right track.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. But define right track, like just not the absolute worst with a weird vice president who seems to have an alarming amount of power considering his track record. Yeah.
Who wins the NBA finals?
Sadly, I think the Warriors are going to win it again.
Yeah.
I'm so torn on this Warriors-Mavericks series because I hate both of those teams. But I mean,
Robert, we can't have Dallas.
So the Rockets going to take Banchero? Are the Rockets going to take Banchero or what?
I don't know, because that's a tough spot to be in when you're at that third. Like, you don't know who's going to fall to you, and I just wonder who's actually going to fit. Because right now, I'm looking at it, Robert, with the perspective I want everything to be made so that Jalen Green can excel. And, you know, I just feel like him playing with Kevin Porter Jr., that's only going to make things worse. Like, and so what if they get somebody else that's potentially going to be, I don't know, taking the ball away from Jalen? It's a tough spot. It's a shame. You have the worst record in basketball, and you end up with the third pick.
That tanking for nothing.
I know, right? Well, Robert Flores, we appreciate your time. As always, he is at Roflo on Twitter, Real Roflo on Instagram. And, of course, you can catch him on MLB Central each morning with Mark DeRosa and Lauren Shahady. Robert, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much. Good luck this week, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our In Case You Missed It segment from the weekend. That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it is time for our In Case You Missed It segment, where it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like, where we recap the weekend and things that you might have missed. A lot going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We start with something actually recent. Of course, Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's lawyer, doing that interview with Mary Kay Cabot in Cleveland. Tony Busby has responded to not only that, but the Real Sports segment that is supposed to air with Bryant Gumbel. It's going to be tomorrow. Tony Busby's law firm issuing, and I can't read the whole thing because, as always, with Tony Busby, it's like three paragraphs long.
I know.
As was the case with speaking with law enforcement, we left the decision to the clients. Two chose to do so. These women are brave, courageous. I was impressed with HBO. And then we look forward to trying these cases in court as soon as practicable. We are very confident in that. In the end, justice will be done.
So the news from this, Vanessa, was that HBO had put out that several women were sitting down for a national TV interview about Deshaun Watson, and it's two. So several, just like a few, can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. But it's just 2. I'm curious as to how detailed it will be. I do think it will have an impact on whatever suspension Watson gets, and I imagine the NFL is waiting, as they always do, to see if there's some sort of video that could perhaps, you know, make it look really bad if they were to operate one way or another. So this is now all about public relations for the NFL and them trying to cover their ass.
The behind the scenes, if somebody in the know ever chose to spoke up about the process of the NFL's investigation, I think it would be fascinating because it is unprecedented. An NFL quarterback being accused of 22 anything is unprecedented. So if we find out 5 years from now, you know what? Deshaun was actually going to be suspended 4 games. And then after a damning HBO segment with Bryant Gumbel, it moved to a full season. Whatever. I do think it's fascinating, the behind the scenes, to be a fly on that wall and to hear the decisions that are being made, because they're going to say that the HBO segment had no impact on his suspension. I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah. Look, I mean, what happened with the suspension that they originally gave to Ray Rice versus the somewhat lifetime ban, in writing, that they gave to him after the video came out of him punching his, I believe, fiance at the time in that elevator. So this is the world we live in. It is about optics very often more than it is about anything else. So this isn't like the NFL is doing some grand noble gesture or anything like that. But I imagine that they see this and they're like, wait a second. The Browns and Watson are trying to find a way around whatever punishment is coming. Can we really allow this to happen? And I know Roger Goodell has at least weighed in on that idea. So I'm curious to see what happens. And I would not be surprised by a Trevor Bauer length kind of suspension after that went out.
According to Colin Cowherd, we were kind of talking about this, guys, with Jimbo and Nick Saban with Robert Flores in the last segment. NIL and whatnot, players being quote-unquote bought. According to Colin Cowherd, the NIL bidding for Jordan Addison is at $3.5 million.
Right.
Now, it's not even reported officially that he's in the transfer portal.
Pittsburgh wide receiver won the Biletnikoff Award last year, which is the award for the best wide receiver. I think he had like 17 receptions from Kenny, touchdown receptions from Kenny Pickett, 1,400 yards receiving.
Yeah, started out with a quiet season and then ended up really, really good.
So now he goes to USC.
$3.5 million.
Yeah.
Is it official that he's going to USC? I didn't see that.
I believe so.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
And that is the number that we're not sure if it's official is the $3.5 million. And that's something that they're going to try to keep close to the vest as best they can. Because, of course, you know, last week, Vanessa, and you weren't here for it, but I'm sure as you asked Robert Flores about it, you had some thoughts on it. Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban, there were some shots that were fired at Jackson State because of the cornerback, I believe his name is Travis Hunter, who had committed to Jackson State to play with Deion Sanders and is supposedly getting $1 million for it. Well, he disputed that, and Deion Sanders also disputed that. It's been really interesting to see how this is all going down, because on Friday, I thought we might get more coaches, Vanessa, weighing in on things, specifically one, Lane Kiffin, who was scheduled to go on the Dan Patrick Show that Friday. And of course, you know, he wanted to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Well, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, supposedly stopped said interview from happening. He got Lane Kiffin off of it.
I'm not surprised by that for PR control. I was surprised, I will say.
I think it's a loss by them. They should
totally
lean into
the
Vince
McMahon
element.
Especially since Lane Kiffin's so funny.
Yeah, but also This is classic the South. Let's all act proper. Oh, we're proper.
Right.
You know, let's put our gloves on and our bow ties on. We would never not be gentlemen with one another while we talk about not paying these kids. We would never do that.
Pearl clutching, exactly. Have you ever let something kind of sit and you hold a little bit of a grudge and you let something boil up? And then in a moment of anger, it all comes out. I ask you this rhetorically because I know you.
Duh. Yeah, come on. You made it seem like you really thought
highly of my
moral fortitude.
Have you ever let something boil? That's what happened with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Anybody can see it. Because the second that Nick Saban made that accusation against Jimbo, Jimbo said despicable like five times within the first 2 minutes of the press conference. And all the other coaches went, nope, and zipped their lips.
Jimbo's still going, by the way.
He is.
Because he was on a television show in San Antonio on Sunday night. And he just keeps going. And he's like, I just researched this. Of the 11 guys we have in place that came early, one guy has an NIL deal. So all these stories you're hearing are complete lies. And I love that he just is continuing to defend the wall. And there should be more of this. It's good for the SEC. You want the SEC to be more than just a regional superpower and become what, even more than what it is now, which is everyone's probably least favorite conference outside of it, but everyone respects it as the best. Then have this stuff continue. Greg Sankey, they're acting like they're proper. This is ridiculous. Miss me with that.
The kids have some power now, and the coaches are no longer happy.
They should be all talking about it. It's good. It is good for the sport. It is good for the intrigue, the drama. And they're like, oh, this could hurt the SEC. Shut up. You guys are wusses.
Our resident Boston fan.
Yeah.
How was this weekend?
I was trying to filibuster. So
I know.
Maybe
how was it? But
that.
I'm not going to let you.
They've had two losses. They've had 40 turnovers in those two losses. So how do you think? How do you think I'm feeling?
Well, probably not great.
You know what? I'm going to shift
this
conversation.
Did you ignore a date at the bar?
No, but we did watch. Hey, look. I want to, okay, instead focus on Luka Doncic.
Okay.
I want to focus on him right now. That team is down 3-0, and he got dunked on by Andrew Wiggins and flopped while getting dunked on so that he could draw an offensive foul. I am 100% out on Luka Doncic. He has no honor. He has no
I love him.
Honor.
The flop, not great. But the fact
it was
that
pathetic.
He's
the, go back to Europe. If
the
you're
nerdy guy that drinks beers before game. God,
I
love it.
He's not nerdy. He is. And I'm going to be xenophobic here, like I do from time to time.
Whoa.
Go back to the Balkans if you're going to do that flopping stuff. Okay. Here in the States, we don't do that.
I love immigrants.
Well,
don't
I don't like it when they're bringing their flopping BS here. Hey, Luca, if you were to flop in the Balkans, would anyone take you seriously? No, they wouldn't. They'd think you're an absolute wuss. Because in the Balkans, things are tough. And you're going to flop in the middle of the game? You have no honor. That was
despicable.
We got
Toby Keith, courtesy of the red, white, and blue over here. Hello.
Andrew Wiggins dunking on him. And look, Andrew Wiggins is Canadian, right? So I can't even claim that this was a good old-fashioned American justice.
Also, what country is James Harden from? What country is Marcus Smart from? You said we don't flop in America.
We shouldn't flop in America. I don't want this damn Slovenian coming in here and flopping all over my American court.
Wow, I feel like I'm back in Indiana after a great weekend.
He flopped. No honor. Come on.
Doesn't play basketball the right way.
Am I not consistent?
Those are literally the conversations that happen in Indiana about people not playing basketball the right
way. Also, that Andrew Wiggins play, there's a travel.
Probably.
coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are talking about the Astros after a great weekend, looking forward to their mid-series weekend series that starts tonight, as well as a fired-up NFL owner and a quarterback that responds. That's next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Keep it here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.